our most precious and beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have graciously placed us in the highest and most sacred heavenly places, and that you have opened the wide door to the infinite, eternal, and boundless dimensions in your Father's house, the magnificent dimensions of your radiant and everlasting glory that transforms our hearts and souls. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us explorers to discover, Lord, the vast dimensions in the glory of God, to discover, Lord, the infinite dimensions of your works, Lord, and the many different ways you work, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that tonight you are connecting us specifically with rooms in your glory. We thank you for these rooms in your glory, Lord. We praise you for the depth of your works and the wonders of your presence tonight. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Almighty Lord. We praise you, Holy Lord. We praise you, our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, I see in the Spirit, and I truly believe there is someone watching us via live stream, or perhaps many people watching via live stream, and you have really been reaching out for the ministry of deliverance, wanting to serve others through the power of deliverance. And I just see right now that the windows of heaven are wide open over you. Tonight is so tangible here, the rooms in the glory. And one of these rooms in the glory is the room for deliverance. And God is saying to you, you who are watching via live stream, just send me an email as confirmation. But God is telling you right now, simply stretch out your hands and connect with this room of deliverance. Because God wants to activate an anointing for deliverance in your life, to activate an effectiveness for deliverance that will bless many people. So in Jesus' name, wherever you are watching via live stream, receive it right now and let the Holy Spirit lift you up. Let the Holy Spirit take you into this dimension of deliverance where there's authority, where there is authority and security and stability in your innermost spiritual being so that you can stand firm and resolute in clarity, ease, peace, and confidence in the face of the various demonic powers of darkness and continually walk in your authority in Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hello. Actually, I can see right now, this is for someone watching via live stream, but I also see a shift into you, Marguerite. I believe that God is releasing an increased anointing for deliverance in you in Jesus' name, and you will truly see people being set free, demons being cast out, and strong authority becoming visible through you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, just reach out into the glory of God. These are realms that he wants to connect you with tonight. These are realms, you know, for each and every one of us. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Look to the Holy Spirit. With which realm, with which effectiveness does he want to connect you in a completely new way tonight? It could be an effectiveness for certain signs and wonders, or it could be an effectiveness for your finances. Or it could simply be an effectiveness for divine wisdom, for concepts from heaven, for perspectives from heaven, and for revelation from heaven. It could even be an effectiveness for knowledge. Just reach out right now. What do you want, says the Holy Spirit? What do you want to reconnect with today? You are a supernatural world changer. With what do you want to supernaturally change the world in the near future? With which effectiveness in particular? What are you reaching out for? What do you say? Yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. Hallelujah. I see someone in the spirit. I don't know if it's someone here in person or watching the live stream, but you just specifically reached out truly for an anointing. Just like Deuteronomy 8:18 says, he gave me the power to gain wealth. And you reached out for this anointing for financial increase, financial abundance, and blessing. Hallelujah. And you are reaching out. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let's stay in this moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's just receive. Let's just open our hearts and receive whatever it is you are reaching out for right now. You will surely receive it tonight. Korabasi Karalamando, Korabashi Karamanda, Korabasi Karabasi Karabasikar. Yes, you will receive it. Just believe and receive everything you need tonight. Korabasi Karalamando, Korabashi Karamanda, Korabasi Karabasikara. Let the blessing flow into your life right now as you reach out in faith. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your angels. Lord, I thank you that your angels, Lord, on behalf of Jesus, are depositing things into our hearts tonight, Lord. Depositing things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, my friend, a new wave of unusual, extraordinary miracles is coming. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, unusual, extraordinary, unusual, extraordinary miracles are happening through your hands. Hallelujah. Shakarika babounder, karabasi karaya, lamandakor strand. These are many different rooms in the Father's house that are patiently waiting for us to discover them. These rooms are spiritual dimensions in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of glory. Andrea, I see musical notes above you, which isn't necessarily surprising since you're involved in worship, but what I saw connected to that is that something is truly coming down on you from above. I believe that a new lightness is coming to you, not just in music, but also as a download where God is actually giving you your own melodies and your own creative things, simply in the area of music. So these notes coming from above, I believe, are to be understood very specifically as Him giving you an anointing for your own songs in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Chirabasi kararara. Chirabasi karara. Reach out somewhere. Maybe He is showing you a room in His glory that at first you don't really understand. What is it actually? Then ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is this? What is it that you want to give me right now? This is a download from heaven. Do you understand that? A download from heaven tonight, even over live stream. This is a download from heaven with dimensions, with manifestations of the glory of God. Just get ready to receive. Keep watch. Ask Him, Holy Spirit, which room do you want to lead me into right now and this time? And then there's this download. Oh, connect yourself with the corresponding manifestation. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just ask y'all real quick. Who among you here has seen a room or perhaps seen an effect, something powerful the Holy Spirit has shown you where He truly wants to lead you? Just stretch out your hand. Hallelujah. That's many, most of you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who among those who just raised their hand has seen a room and seen something in that room, but you're not quite sure what it means? You're still not quite sure what it means. You saw something, but you're not quite sure what it means. Is there anyone? Was everything clear? Okay, great. Praise the Lord. Then we absolutely don't need to explain anything at all. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Who among you here expects to walk in this brand new effectiveness in the very near coming days? Okay, step forward and come up here right now. I am going to lay my hands on you for confirmation, okay? Because there really is this download, hallelujah. There really is this download from above. Thank you, Father. thank you, Father, that these rooms are open in the Spirit. And thank you that it's not just a prophetic activation where we see something in the Spirit, Lord, but that is something very concrete, that you are activating us in very specific effectiveness here tonight. Hallelujah. Very specifically, Lord. And I thank you that it will become visible, Lord, in this coming time. Thank you that it will become visible, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that it will become visible, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you that it will come forth, O Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you. We declare no delay. We declare no delay. Now is the appointed day of salvation. Now is the favorable time. Hallelujah. What you have seen is not for 20 years from now, but it is for now. It is for now, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 oh, Jesus, 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 oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Careful, careful, oh, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Everyone watching a live stream, just receive from it. Go in there. Go in there. Go in there. A new dimension. New dimension. New dimension. New dimensions in the prophetic song. New dimension in the prophetic song. People's hearts are being touched in the prophetic song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just consciously step in by faith. Just consciously step in by faith. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Yes, that is exactly how it is, and we believe it. It will be yours. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, it truly belongs to you. It belongs to you. Wow, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. We welcome new spaces in the Spirit and in worship. Hallelujah. We see new bubbles from heaven over the worship. Oh, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, glory to your name. Jesus, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory realms, new glory realms. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. New glory realms. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, thank you so much, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, who would like to briefly share where you really said, I'm taking hold of this space, this dimension? Just quickly share what you took hold of. Only if you want to, not everyone has to, but if you want, what did you take hold of?
I saw myself rising up high into the air, and then Jesus gave me a special key. I saw prisons, like dark metal bars, really grim, and I asked Jesus, what exactly is this key? And then I saw the hands, the marks of the nails, and his blood is the key. And he gives us, or gives me, the key to unlock it so that people can come out.
To bind and to loose. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the key to deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give Jesus a round of applause. Hallelujah. That's powerful. And there will be effects. We'll hear the testimonies of what happens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would anyone else like to briefly share what they saw? One more person want to share briefly? Yes. What is it? Or Astrid? Yeah.
Just had. I didn't see a vision, but I just had this desire to sing during the sermon. Sing, sing.
Did you have that desire?
Yeah.
Then I said to you, prophetic song, because
I had sung like that from time to time during the sermon. And then this desire was so strong. And then you said, prophetic song.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's double confirmation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You should simply say, Lord, every single thing you have given me, I have received it. It rightfully belongs to me. And from this day forward,
good,
I will walk in it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you weren't able to give your testimony just now or couldn't share, and you would like to pass it on to us, just feel free to send us an email at wonder@oriolife.net. Just tell us what God has shown you, okay? Hallelujah. But now you may return to your seats, because tonight we want to start with the first session, and we are looking forward to a wonderful hour with our Pastor Christian. He'll lead the first session. Michael will lead the second session afterwards. Michael Weaver. So pay close attention to what God wants to say to you through these two wonderful men of God, because I believe you all need it, and so do I. Amen. Let's get started. Christian?
I thank you. Are you all ready? Can we go ahead and get started now? Okay, I can see that you are really fired up now. That's awesome. We had the last school sessions. What I did was about the topic of calling. And ultimately, calling is also a part of your identity, what makes you who you are. So there's a lot more that makes you who you are. Jesus and so on make up so much more of who you are. But part of it is also what God has called you to do. And that's ultimately also a part of your identity. And today, I want to start with a new topic that the Holy Spirit has shown me, and that's the topic of kings and priests. That means for the next 40 hours, I'll go through every single king and every single priest in detail. Just kidding. I'm not actually going to do that. I'll keep it a bit shorter. Exactly. Kings and priests. But it's also really, really, really incredibly important because it is a fundamental part of our very identity. And I'll say this right up front. This is actually where all of my lessons are ultimately leading us. You and I, we are truly kings and priests. Through Jesus, we've been given this magnificent role, and it simply and rightfully belongs to you. I just found it so, so important to really understand this deeply, but also for me personally, to go even deeper into this profound topic, because I truly believe there's so much power behind knowing that you are a king or a queen, but also that you are a priest or a priestess. And when you look at the world around us today, you see that many Christians don't really act like the kings and priests they were meant to be. That's why I found this entire topic so fascinating, to go through it with all of you, but also to explore it personally in my own life. So, what is it that actually makes a king? What actually makes a priest? What does any of this have to do with me? Maybe you've asked yourself that question before too. What does any of this have to do with you? But there are so, so, so many examples that we're just going to take a look at, and this first lesson is really just meant to give an overview. Yeah, and then we'll dive a little deeper into what kings meant in the Old Covenant. What did priests mean in the Old Covenant? And ultimately, what does that have to do with me personally? I can certainly tell you this much right now, in advance. A king doesn't carry himself like that, and a king certainly doesn't plead for scraps. You see, a priest isn't all that far from God either. He also constantly stays in God's holy presence. And ultimately, if you start adding a few of these important things together, it really makes up a very big part of our personal identity, who we actually are as individuals, and what kind of behavior is actually found deep within us. You know, in the spirit, you are a king. You are a priest, even if your soul might not fully accept it yet. Even if your behavior, your manner, your actions might not be 100% there yet. But in the spirit, the matter is simply settled. In the spirit, you simply are. And that's not because, here we are again at this topic, not because you're so great or because you thought, yeah, I really fought hard for this, that's why I am who I am now. No, it came as a gift through Jesus, through his grace. And that is exactly what I mean. And I always find it to be deeply tragic and a real shame, even for myself personally, to live a life that drifts away from the path of what God actually made you for, or from what Jesus ultimately accomplished for us on the cross. And that's why it's so incredibly important to step into that, because our life is, I've said it so many times, so much more than just an ordinary existence. Our life is something special. You are something special. You are a new creation, a new creature. You are a king, a priest. And for that reason, it would be entirely fitting and appropriate to act like a king and also in the manner of a priest. And I've often caught myself in everyday life not acting that way. A king doesn't need to do that. Ultimately, a king has absolute authority. A king has immense power. He has unwavering strength. And he always has something important to say. And what do we often do in everyday life? We think we're the lowest worm and have nothing to say whenever a situation comes up and so on. And that's why it's just important to keep going deeper into this, because it's simply part of who we are. Exactly. As I said, we should develop a better understanding of this, or I just want to develop a better understanding of this together with you all. When we understand what Jesus actually did, that he made us into a royal priesthood, as it says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people by God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong exclusively to him, and you have the task of proclaiming his extraordinary and mighty deeds, the deeds of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous and wonderful light." That is absolutely incredible. It's truly incredible when we truly understand that. And that's just a small part of it. I mean, the fact that we are a new creation born of God, that alone is already amazing. Yeah, that too. But we've already spent so many hours on that and talked about it so much in the past, so I thought we should also look at a different aspect. And being a king and a priest is an essential and fundamental part of that reality, because you begin to conduct your life in a completely different way when you have the profound and constant awareness that, in the spirit, you are ultimately a king and a priest. It gives you a completely different mindset, because when a demon comes and you know you're born of God, then it never stood a chance anyway. Everything's fine. But when you also know this and carry yourself with a certain attitude, many people walk upright in life, and that's something the Holy Spirit showed me too. They walk through life with their heads held high and so on, but spiritually, they're completely hunched over and bowed down. And that's a big difference. For us, it's important, yes, of course, we should also carry ourselves well outwardly. You are someone. You're not nothing. You're not a worm or anything like that, so you can walk upright too. And it's a completely different posture when you stick your chest out, shoulders back. You already have a totally different presence, even when I'm speaking in front of you, compared to if I didn't. So being a king and a priest wouldn't be bad either. That's a completely different attitude. Yeah, that's when you make a statement, it comes across totally differently. And it's the same way in the spirit. A lot of Christians, not you, of course, since we're here in school and you're already well-trained, but a lot of Christians are like that in the spirit too. Here comes a demon, here comes the devil, here comes a situation. No, especially in those critical moments, you must take a stand. Remember that you are a king. Keep your shoulders back in the spirit, keep your eyes fixed forward, and say with authority, "Not like this, in the mighty name of Jesus. I command you to leave right now, being fully aware that it absolutely has to happen. That is always the attitude of a king. The king does not doubt himself. So if we look at the kings, even in the Old Testament, we'll look at a few examples. They tend to fall off the horse on the other side, becoming too arrogant and thinking they can do everything and have achieved everything on their own. We actually heard about that in the sermon on Sunday. They tend to fall off on that side. Well, I don't know it by heart, but there are very, very, very few kings. The kings who have power and in the end think they've managed everything themselves, so they don't need God anymore, until they realize otherwise. Then they realize they've made a small mistake. Today we have a few Bible passages in front of us that we want to look at. Revelation 1, 5 through 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins by his own blood, and has made us to be kings and priests unto his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Once again, we see the same thing here. He has truly made us into kings and priests. Now, what exactly am I trying to convey to you with this? Or what did I want to show you with these two Bible passages? You don't simply become a king and a priest someday when you die. You actually become a king and a priest the very moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right in that very moment, you truly become a king and a priest. Ultimately, you have been fully crowned with glory and anointed by His Spirit. All the anointing, let's look at that again, is in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is ultimately the long-awaited and anointed Messiah. And in Him is this divine and royal anointing. In Him is this sacred and priestly anointing. And through Him, we have also received the same holy gift and have truly become kings and priests unto God. Now, some people might misunderstand this, so I want to emphasize it, though I know you don't do that. We are not above Jesus. We are not the King of Kings. Jesus is the King of Kings. And ultimately, Jesus is also the high priest par excellence. So we have received it with him, and yet he is the King of Kings. But we are that together with him. We are not above him. I would even say we're not even beside him. We're under him. He is the King of Kings. Through him, we have everything. Through him, we have ultimately received the power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Without him, we are nothing. That's why he is the King of Kings. But hey, the same glory that he received, we have also received. The same substance is in us. That's why we also have the same authority in him, because he has entrusted all of this to us. Exactly. So just to clarify that once again. Exactly. You and I are kings and priests. So what does that mean now? Yeah, as I said, today is just a brief overview. Next time, we'll take a look at kings, like in the Old Testament. Then we'll look at priests in the Old Testament, and then what that means for us. Furthermore, I want to show you again that the royal priesthood is ultimately not a new invention that Jesus brought. That's also important to Mao. Actually, the royal priesthood has existed from the very beginning. As long as there have been people, more or less, there has been the royal priesthood. And we'll take a look at what I mean by that in just a moment. But first of all, I thought we'd try something completely new today, something I haven't tried before. Today, we're going to make things at least a little bit interactive, even if just briefly. Since we are currently in a school setting, and as you are probably well aware, if you ask the students, you should also make sure to involve them in the process. So, very briefly, let's discuss the various kings found throughout the Old Testament. What did kings do in the Old Testament? What are their responsibilities? Just briefly, to rule. To wage war. That's already been mentioned, yes, but also to protect, yes, to administer justice, to conquer land, very good. To govern, also good. To make laws. Gifts, yes. Okay. Exactly. Excuse me? Role model? Yes, they should be, but they weren't always. Exactly, to lead an army. So you've already mentioned a lot, and honestly, I don't have anything else to add. So a king rules, he governs, he makes laws, he protects by going to war if necessary, and ultimately, what I also thought of, he represents God's power before the people. So in the end, he represents God's authority before the people, at least to some extent, in contrast to others. So if there is a good king, let me put it that way, then he also represents God's power. If you look at the Old Testament, whenever they did things well, they always asked God first, and God was with them, with his power. There were numerous historical examples where they went up against tens of thousands with a mere handful of only a few hundred soldiers. They never would have emerged victorious if God hadn't been right there with them. So they also served as a powerful testament to God's power and ultimately God's divine authority in their lives. That's exactly how it was always supposed to be, ideally. Not everyone did it. Tell me, what was the role of the priest in the Old Covenant? To pray? To offer sacrifices, worship? Thank you. To represent the people before God. Exactly. Yes, exactly. To go into the Holy of Holies. Excuse me? To act as a mediator? Excuse me? To provide some instruction? Yes, to pass along. Yeah, I have to say, that is actually really awesome. To carry the Ark of the Covenant. To carry it? Who carried it? Now I have to think, too. It was the Levites, right? Because no one else was actually allowed to. The teacher up here is struggling, but he has a good backup. Exactly. So ultimately, though, all of those things you all mentioned, they faithfully served, they offered sacrifices, they blessed, they ultimately stood up and advocated for the people, for the nation. And in the end, they represented the people before God. Exactly in the same way that Pastor Gord said. And right from the very beginning, it was God's divine intention for people to do both, to rule over creation and to serve one another. And in Jesus, ultimately, this sacred calling was finally and fully restored, the very same one that God had carefully and purposefully planned from the very beginning. And if we take another look at this, we're not quite at the very beginning yet, meaning Adam and Eve, but we're getting closer. Before Israel actually had an Adam or a king like Saul or then David, before all that, humanity itself was already created to be both royal and priestly. And ultimately, we see both of these things on the very first pages of the Bible. And it says in Genesis 1:26-28 says, and I'll just read it out now. It's a longer passage. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. They are to rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and every creeping thing that crawls on the earth. And God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the whole earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Here comes the whole topic of ruling. So on the one hand, they are created in God's image. God is king. But then, quite often, the topic of ruling and subduing also came up. Ultimately, that too is what makes a king in the end. In the 8th Psalm, it says once again, specifically in Psalm 8, verses 6 through 7, that you made him just a little lower than the heavenly angels, With great glory and majestic honor, you have crowned him. You made him the rightful ruler over all the various works of your hands. You have put absolutely everything under his feet. And here again, we see that he is truly crowned.
Yeah, you've crowned him. It's like putting a crown on him once more in the end.
So the whole idea of being royal was already considered from the very beginning in this way. I'm not saying Adam was a king. I don't want to put it that way. There weren't that many people to rule over anyway, except for Eve. And even that didn't work out. But the things, let's say, that make a king, God had already entrusted those to humans back then. Also, regarding the priestly aspect of his role, we read about that specifically in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the lush garden of Eden to work the land and to carefully take care of it. That is actually a bit tricky to fully understand, I really have to say. To work it and to take care of it. They're the words avad and shamar. I hope I pronounced them correctly again, these two word pairs. And it's interesting that exactly the same word pairs appear in Numbers 3, where ultimately, or rather, I'll read it out. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, so that they may serve him. They shall perform duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, doing the work of the tabernacle. They shall take care of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and fulfill the obligations for the Israelites doing the work of the tabernacle." That is exactly right. And these two pairs of words ultimately make another appearance later on within this specific text. To perform this service, to keep watch, and thus to do the work for the dwelling. Ultimately, even back then, Adam's task was quite straightforward and simple, to put it in a certain way, by means of... In order to do the work, sorry, by ultimately... Now I'm just searching around for the right words. Eden, after all, was... How should I put it? Given to humans by God. And Adam's task was ultimately to serve within it. Yes, and within that, ultimately, he was in all his glory. And ultimately, to worship him there as well. He probably wasn't the one who knelt before God in paradise. I don't know. But still, he did have a certain kind of worship in that glory. And as I previously mentioned, those two specific Hebrew words, ultimately, to cultivate and to keep, which are originally found within the book of Genesis 2:15, reappear once again in this passage, where God says to the Levites that they are ultimately to carry out their sacred duties and service there. So you find the same word pairs. In the Bible, ultimately, and I found that to be incredibly fascinating and profound, this divine connection that the Almighty God establishes right here, from all the way back then with the Levites, whom he'd specifically chosen and appointed to serve as his holy priests, to the direct connection with what he had originally and purposefully placed deep within the hearts of all human beings. He has always placed within us that humans should rule, that humans have a certain authority. But he has also always placed within us that humans are meant to serve and worship. And I really found that, yeah, I found that really amazing in a way, because we are created after that pattern. We were brought into existence to exercise authority, but also to worship. And that's exactly what I said right at the very beginning of this discussion. That's our true sense of identity. And if you don't know your identity, that you were specifically created to rule, but also to worship, then you'll inevitably have a fundamental distortion and imbalance in your life and everything you do.
I think that's something really, really, really important.
Or at least for me, I found it to be really, really, really important to open up that reality again. Like, ruling, I already knew about that, and I'm kind of that type of person.
you know, I sort of have that in me, so to speak. I actually have to hold myself back a bit so I don't end up falling off the other side and trying to be king of everything. But this commonality, that it's actually been placed inside me that I was created this way. I really liked that. And then came the realization, hey, even people who don't know Jesus, they were created this way too. When you look out into the world, what are they doing? And that's what people did in the Old Testament too. They prayed. They just prayed to the wrong thing. That's the problem. God doesn't find that funny at all. And they always want to rule over others too. If we just look at the news, there are a lot of people who want to be in charge. So that's something that's in human nature. And it's really important for us as Christians to channel that in the right direction, focused on Jesus, because that's the only way it works. Every single king and every priest in the Old Testament who lacked that spiritual focus passed away. They simply didn't have a good life or a good ending. And I just found that so interesting, and I just wanted to show you that. That desire was there from the very beginning, even with Adam and Eve when God created them. It's inside us. It's part of our DNA. We just need to have the right orientation, the right focus in the end. Okay, in the Old Covenant, three offices were mainly established through anointing with oil. Those were prophets, priests, and kings. The oil ultimately stands for the Holy Spirit, who enables people for service. The prophet, as we have come to understand, brings God's word to the people. The priest brings the people to God, as we have previously discussed. And the king ultimately enforces the divine rule of God in the land. That is how you can summarize these roles in just two or three sentences. And the truly remarkable thing is, in Jesus, we find all three of these sacred offices in their absolute perfection. He was the ultimate prophet, he was the great high priest, and he was the eternal king. I would say at the highest level, or ultimately, that is exactly what it is. Yes, exactly. And I felt that was really, really cool. As I said, I've now summarized the whole thing a bit for the school lessons. I just wanted to focus on kings and priests for now, but as I kept going, I actually found the prophet part pretty interesting too. Maybe we'll get to that later, but for now, let's focus on kings and priests. So for that, I'd like to read Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Since we're in school, I'm allowed to share a lot of Bible verses today. So when Abram returned from his victory after defeating Chedorlaomer and the various allied kings who had joined with him, the king of Sodom went out to greet and meet him in the Valley of Shaveh, which is also known as the King's Valley. But Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth an offering of bread and wine, for he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. I don't want to get into the topic of tithing right now. That's a whole other subject, although I can't help but mention a few small things. Giving a tithe existed even before that, before the covenant, so before the law. So tithing has always existed, which is why tithing didn't stop in the new covenant either. But that's just something I had to get off my chest. Here we read about Melchizedek, and there are a lot of interpretations about who or what Melchizedek actually was. Was that Jesus in person? Was it not? And so on. I'll continue to hold on to one interpretation that I personally have discovered to be particularly meaningful for myself. A foreshadowing of Jesus. He was a foreshadowing of Jesus. Why is it so fascinating and significant to examine the figure of Melchizedek here? It's because he was the rightful king of Salem, and at the same time, he was a priest of the Most High God. He was both in one person. And for myself, I have to honestly admit, I've never really looked into this before. That's why I was a bit surprised. First of all, king and priest, those two roles never, ever exist together in the Old Covenant. Never. It just doesn't happen. They're kings and they're priests, but you never have both together. The only place we've seen that is with Melchizedek, and then, of course, with Jesus. And just quickly, why I also believe, oh, I almost forgot, why I believe that Melchizedek was a foreshadowing is because in Psalm 110, verse 4, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will never take back this promise. You will be a priest forever, a priest of the same priestly order as Melchizedek, so of the same order." That doesn't mean he was Melchizedek, but that you will be of the same order. That's why, to me, it just makes sense that he was a foreshadowing and not Jesus himself. But that's a matter of interpretation. If we take a much closer look at the details of the Old Covenant, we can see that it continues on through the establishment of the formal priesthood as well, which was a central part of their life. And there was a pivotal moment, namely after they made the golden calf, which, as you know, wasn't so great. God didn't find the golden calf funny at all. The members of the tribe of Levi ultimately proved themselves faithful and were specially set apart for service so that they were allowed to serve God as priests. The actual priesthood at that specific time remained strictly limited to Aaron and his sons. However, the entire tribe of Levi was eventually allowed to serve alongside them and was ultimately included in the service. The first king of Israel, as we know, was Saul, who hailed from the tribe of Benjamin. Right, he was basically a king, more or less, because that's what the people wanted. The people cried out that they finally wanted to have a king too. And Saul represented the idea of a king pretty well. He was strong, tall, probably had the build. It's even written that way. He had the physique of a king. So from a human perspective, he really looked the part. But before God, he faltered a bit. And that's why, in the end, David from the tribe of Judah came along, which is also the line that led to Jesus. This is where David eventually became the king, and he certainly did a much better job than Saul did here. Exactly. So why were the roles of king and priest kept so strictly separated? There's a very famous example from the Bible that clearly reflects this separation, because a king once tried to perform both of those roles at the exact same time. I've actually picked out a pretty long Bible passage for this, so I'm just going to read it out loud now. It's from 2, Chronicles 26, verses 15 to 21. Exactly. I just wanted to ensure that this point is perfectly clear to everyone once again. Through his divine grace and God's help, Uzziah became an incredibly powerful leader and a widely celebrated famous man. But the power went to his head. Here we see again fallen off the horse from the other side. He ignored the instructions of the Lord, his God, and eventually even entered the temple himself to burn incense on the altar of incense. But the high priest Azariah followed him in with 80 priests of the Lord, all of whom were courageous men. They confronted Uzziah. "It is not your place to offer incense to the Lord. That is the duty of the priests, the descendants of Aaron, for only they have been chosen for it. Leave the sanctuary. You have disregarded God's command, and for that, the Lord will certainly not reward you." Uzziah was standing next to the altar, already holding the censer in his hand. He was seized with anger when he heard the priest's warning. At that moment, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah and the other priests saw this, they quickly drove him out of the temple. Uzziah also hurried to get out. The leprosy was a sign that the Lord had punished him. King Uzziah remained a leper until his death. Because of his illness, he had to live in a separate house for the rest of his life. He was never allowed to enter the temple of the Lord again. The affairs of state and the supervision of the palace were handed over to his son Jotham. Ultimately, Uzziah was actually a good king. But then, as we examine the historical records alongside various other scholars, he eventually became increasingly prideful and arrogant and unlawfully entered the temple. And in the end, he wanted to usurp the authority of the priesthood for himself. And at that moment, he became leprous. And it really just very clearly demonstrated to me one more time, or rather, I asked myself, why did God choose to separate the roles of the king and the priest in the old covenant? And to be completely honest, you're probably waiting for this answer, but I can't give it to you. that exact answer. But what I believe, or what the Holy Spirit simply showed me, is that a sinful person just can't hold both offices at the same time. So he can't be king and priest at the same time. It only became possible with Jesus, because through Jesus, we have been justified, we have been sanctified. And only from that point on, because even the priest himself first had to purify himself with everything, since he wasn't without guilt either, he had to purify himself so that he could even go in at all. And only with Jesus was it even possible to unite these two offices, and ultimately, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to do it in the right way, in the way God wanted. Because if you are anointed, you are truly anointed. It was ultimately the same with Saul. He was anointed. Yes, David was also anointed later, but Saul didn't immediately lose his throne because of that, only after his death. In the end, it was then David. God could have said, okay, Saul, you're anointed, but I don't care anymore. Now I'll anoint David and you just leave the throne. He simply did not do that at the moment when God chooses to bless. And you can see that very often. He can't just take the blessing back like that, except when you die, or rather, ultimately in the old covenant. And I think that's why, back then, the roles of king and priest were separated. Two roles, but both mean something fundamental to God. A king, who represents power, who rules, who was supposed to lead God's people in the right direction, and the priest at the same time, who stands before God and brings the people before God. And if that had been a single office and it had gone, or as it often did, gone in the wrong direction, then from my point of view, there would have been even more disaster. But with Jesus, we are sanctified. With Jesus, we are washed clean. And because of that, we are ultimately, once again, entitled, as God originally intended, to be kings and priests. Amen. So that means, once again, we have fulfillment in Jesus, who has turned everything around and accomplished it all. God's original intention for humanity, the very first thought he ever had about people, he's completely fulfilled and finished in Jesus. And you and I are once again allowed to be kings and priests. Well, like I said, I'm not saying this was 100% correct, but that's what I received from the Holy Spirit. And for me, it just made so much sense in the end. And I thought, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what I find so fascinating. The deeper you go into the Bible and look at it, you always end up at the same point. And that point is Jesus. You just can't get past him. You simply can't do it. It's always that one point that everything is drawn to, and that is Jesus. And the amazing thing is, when you reach that one point, and that point is Jesus, you see the fulfillment that he has made everything right for you again. And then all you can do is gratefully say, thank you, Jesus, that you accomplished it, that I get to carry on what God originally had in his heart. And then I find myself saying, wow, that's such a responsibility again. And I feel so small and say, how can you even do this, God? I'm really not that great. What a truly great honor it really is to be able to humbly serve him. Amen. All right. Should I keep going? Actually, that was pretty much it now. Yeah, okay, but just one more thing. It's also important to know again, but I think you all know this, of course. As I said, the high priest always had to purify themselves. Christ accomplished it once and for all. He did it once. He does not need to purify himself every day from something. Instead, he was without sin. He didn't have to cleanse himself from anything. He is inherently and perfectly pure. And in the end, he died on the cross for us and took upon himself all the weaknesses that a human being ultimately has. What the law ultimately revealed and brought to light in terms of weaknesses and so on, he took upon himself for us and willingly carried these human frailties and shortcomings as well. And as I said, today we've really covered a wide range of topics. Today was meant to be a broad overview, just to delve more deeply into the topic and to understand what actually is truly hidden behind the scenes of all of this. And as I said, next time, we want to explore much more extensively into what kind of profound transformation is actually involved when you know that you are a king, when you know that you are a priest, not because of your own personal achievements, but, as we've just heard, because of the extraordinary and selfless gift provided by Jesus Christ. So for today, I just want to stop here. I think I was able to get across what I wanted to share in this first hour. But now, before we finish, I'd just like to pray one more time, to pray in that sense. It's just that tonight, what's on my heart, even as I was preparing, I just want to thank Jesus for that. And if you want to join in giving thanks, then just come, stand up with us, and let's pray in tongues and thank him. I'll pray from up front, but you're also welcome to just thank him in your own words, because I really feel like this is the moment to truly thank him again. Hallelujah! Shikara Baba Sandra, Baba Baba Sandra, Baba Baba Sandra, Baba Baba Shikaro, Baba Baba Sandra. Oh, Lord Jesus, we really want to say thank you to you. We truly want to thank you tonight. And when I say thank you, I mean thank you, 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 thank you. Because it's just so amazing to experience it again and again, to see over and over that God had something perfect planned and humanity just strayed from it because of sin. They strayed from the original path, from what God had planned for them. And to rediscover that, Jesus, that you simply took it upon yourself. Everything that humanity did wrong over all those thousands of years before, you simply took it all on the cross. Yes, you left your glory behind for us so that we could go into it. And we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took all of this upon yourself so that these things, as God planned from the very beginning, from all eternity, can be fulfilled again. And I truly pray for us, for each and every one, but also for every single Christian around the world, that we may recognize more and more to put these puzzle pieces together so that we can truly come to our real identity, to live the way you always intended, to live out this authority, this dominion, this love, but also this worship, just as you have planned from the very beginning. Thank you, Lord, for deeper revelation. Thank you, Lord, that we are allowed to go deeper into this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord for your life. We'll take a break until 9:05, so about an 11-minute break, and then in the second hour, Michael will come. Stay tuned, even on the live stream. Stay tuned. The second hour is going to be really powerful, too. Hallelujah. That was already powerful, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll continue with 9:05.